opportunity that has not presented itself before in the city of Ventura to have a transitional housing center with full services for the folks in our community who have found themselves homeless. We partner with other organizations in this community, most notably Project Understanding, to help folks who have these situations. But there has been no facility that is really designed to bring them off the streets and help them to transition into the kind of life that you and I enjoy. A productive life, a housed life, a fulfilling life, a life with a future. But that possibility is available to us now. Possibility because the zoning committee, or commission I should say, of the city of Ventura has voted in favor of rezoning that will make such a facility possible within our industrial area. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, City Council meets, and they will be presented with the recommendations. I can't urge you enough to at least email the City Council to vote in favor of this, and if at all possible, join me in going to that meeting tomorrow night. We don't have to say anything. We just have to be present. And our presence will speak volumes. We'll be leaving here with the church van tomorrow night at 5:30 and traveling down to City Hall. And so I hope that we'll fill the van and more. If you can possibly be here to join us with that, that will be a blessing for our community as a whole because it will be a real improvement. What do people who don't know you know about you? What do people who've only heard about you hear about you? You know, yesterday morning, a rather famous, in certain circles, infamous person passed away. His name was Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry was a singer and a guitarist who became very popular in the mid-1950s and continued also on into the early 1960s, but he is known in some circles as the father of rock and roll. He was 90 years old when he died, and he played actively into his 90th year. He's widely hailed by a lot of musicians in rock and roll circles as being one of the greatest who ever lived, and they acclaim a lot to him. Well, that was his public and professional persona. But privately and personally, he lived a different kind of life. He was in juvenile hall as a teenager. He was brought up on morals charges as an adult and was in prison for a few years. He's known in St. Louis, but not necessarily known the way he would like to be known. I do a fair number of funerals, have done a lot over the years. And I typically try to meet with the family of a person who's passed away about a week before the memorial. And I ask them about the person who's passed away. Ask them about what they did in life professionally. Ask them about their family. Ask them about what they did in the community. Ask them about their hobbies. Ask them about the things that they find memorable about the person, about their character, about their personality, about the things that they loved, and about the things that they contributed to life. I want to know about that person, because when I lead that memorial, I want to be able to reflect good things that were known about that person. So whether you're living now and able in some way to give of yourself, what do people know about you? What have people heard about you? By the time Jesus finished his ministry and returned to heaven, people either knew or they had heard that Jesus went around doing good. That's quite a legacy, isn't it? Isn't that something that you'd like to have said about you? That you went around doing good? That characteristic stood out about you? Jesus told his followers, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, a term he applied to himself, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Serving and sacrificing himself as a slave to God is how God's Son Jesus saw his purpose and his work on earth. How do you see your purpose and your work on earth? Maybe you have a clear vision of it, of both of those. And maybe with that clear vision, you're pursuing those two things consistently, daily, year in, year out. Jesus told his followers, including you and I who've been baptized into Christ, a student is not above his teacher. And a servant is not above his master. It is enough for a student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. You know, people who had access to teachers in that time were a little bit exceptional. Not everybody had that opportunity. Because unless you were going to synagogue school and had a rabbi, you had to pay for a teacher. And teachers walked about. They were noted people. They had a degree of learning that the average person did not have. And so you literally followed them as they walked around and taught you by their own lives, by the things that they believed in. They taught you a lot of things, a lot of variety of things. And they taught you not only what, but how. You know, when we're in school today, whatever level of schooling it is, typically, we have a teacher who teaches us what? They teach us what about science and about history and about languages and about English and about math and any number of other things, depending on how much schooling we have. And we think in terms of a teacher as teaching a what. We don't think about a teacher teaching us a how. Not in the sense of their lives. But teachers like Jesus didn't just teach the what. They taught the how by their lives. So when Jesus talks about a student is not above his teacher, or a servant is not above his master, but that servant and student are to be like their teacher, like their master, they understood very well what he was talking about. It wasn't just the role of the teacher or the master to teach a what, but to teach a how, and for the student or the servant to follow that example. John chapter 13 and verses 1 through 17 shows Jesus demonstrating the humblest servanthood when he washed his disciples' feet. And then he called his followers to humbly serve one another in the same kind of way that he had. In Matthew chapter 25 and verses 31 through 46, Jesus taught his followers to compassionately serve people who are not receiving basic human needs. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 13 stresses that each Christian's spiritual gifts are intended mainly for serving one another. Jesus made serving others a core characteristic of godliness. and a clear, definitive trait by which every Christian would be known. This is how we love others as we love ourselves, by serving them. New Testament writers listed many ways to serve one another, and even more ways present themselves as we involve ourselves with our fellow Christians. We find ways kind of cropping up, ways that we hadn't thought about, ways that aren't listed somewhere for us in a master list that's all exhaustive and inclusive. We just find the nature of life to crop up and present itself to us as opportunities to serve one another. One of those ways is told about in Acts chapter 9 and verses 36 through 39. It says, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Tabitha was known for her small service. She was always doing good and helping the poor. She didn't go out and lead some kind of group to do something massive, something large. Here's this one person, this one woman, who simply went around doing good, helping the poor, making clothing for them. But look at the response when she died. Small things. But Tabitha was missed when she died. If you look at the insert that you have in your program this morning, you find a lot of services and ministries that are done internally to this congregation. All of those are led and staffed by you. But consider this. With every one of those things, every one of those services and internal ministries is small. It's a small thing. It's not earth-shattering. It's not world-changing. It's not Ventura-changing. Every person who's involved in leading or participating in all of those services, in all of those ministries, is doing something small. When our elders urge you, beseech you to become involved in a service or ministry of this congregation, whether it's internal or next Sundays we'll focus on external, they're not asking you to go out and do something earth-shattering. They're not asking you to take off and lead something all by yourself that's going to make a huge difference in this city or in this congregation. They're asking you to do something small, but something that's needed, something that will be a blessing, something that will help other people, whether internally or externally. It's something small. You and I just have many opportunities to serve one another. And our service may be individual or it may be as part of a group. But the real questions are these. How are you serving? Many of you are. Some aren't. How are you serving? And who are you serving? Are you known for serving others to God's glory? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 and 11 should be written prominently somewhere in our homes. Kind of like the old idea from Deuteronomy chapter 6 where God speaks through Moses to all of Israel, and he talks about how God's word should be written in the home and on the doorpost. I believe this is one of those passages that would be appropriate should we do this. There, Peter writes, each one, speaking to Christians, each one of you and I who are baptized into Christ should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. God's gifts and God's grace come in various form, but none of them are useless. And as small as they may be individually, they're all valuable and necessary. We all need them in one way or another. As we serve with our spiritual gifts, we serve up God's grace to his praise. And when we don't use God's gifts in serving others, we're not serving up God's grace, and God is not praised. We can do this. We can do this. Every one of us can do it. And every one of us must do it. Because after all, that's a core trait of what it means to be a Christian. Are you serving and sacrificing yourself as a slave to God? Joe's going to talk a little bit about some more of our internal ministries this morning. And you may find as he talks about these that there's some things here you hadn't thought about that you could be involved in. And as he talks about these and highlights the leader of each of these services or ministries, I want to encourage you to think prayerfully about which of these, if you are not involved in something, you could be involved in to the dispensing of God's grace to his praise.
A story of a growing church, a church that is multiplying, a church that is finding new needs and finding creative ways to fill those needs. And I want you to put yourselves in the shoes of those early disciples, the ones who hear the message of the apostles as they are preaching and proclaiming and sending people around the world, and as they are seeing the Holy Spirit do miracles amongst them. I imagine like you, many, imagine like them, we would feel impassioned and emboldened to go out and change the world. But what is the first problem this growing church finds? Complaining widows. Widows who feel discriminated against. People who feel that they are being overlooked and food isn't being distributed fairly. And so the apostles, instead of miraculously producing food out of their fingers, much like Jesus did, The apostles said, well, we need to dedicate ourselves to the work. We need to be dedicating ourselves to pray. Let us pick men. Let us pick servants who will deal with this. Now, can you imagine being that early disciple and feeling, I'm going to go out and change the world. And as Peter looks at you and says, we need you to serve these widows. You would feel yourself, well, I want to go change the world. I want to do something big and grand. I want to do something enormous. But these men, being better than I am, knew the power of God, knew what God was doing and doing sometimes even in spite of them. And it would be easy to finish there and feel like these group of men were wasted on just such a simple task, but we know different. We see the story. So I'm not saying that if you volunteer to be a part of the education system, you might be martyred. I'm not saying that that is a possibility for you. But what we are telling you is never to underestimate the power of God to work through simple actions and simple decisions that you are making. One of the ministries that we have here, one of the many, many ministries that we have here, and I'm not going to complete this whole list because there are so many things that you guys are doing. But one of the ministries we have here are small groups, and it is a ministry. The purpose of this ministry is to develop and maintain interpersonal relationships with one another through discussion, Bible study, and prayer. And we meet in homes on Wednesday nights, as well as here in the building. Our hope is to build bridges between whole families, diverse generations, and differing communities. I asked Gavin to kind of think on this topic of this ministry, of our life groups, of our small groups. And this is something that he said. Small groups are a very multifaceted experience that can benefit our Christian lives in several different ways. Every Wednesday, we take time out of our busy schedules to stop and study God's Word. Regardless of whether you are an experienced, mature Christian, whether you have been a Christian for a relatively short number of years, or even if you are a new babe in Christ, these studies allow us to read and study Scripture along with answering questions together that can give us a broader understanding of God's Word. Another reason that I believe small groups are very valuable is because of the outstanding opportunity for fellowship that is available to us. We see our fellow Christians every Sunday at worship and may partake in discussion on the level of small talk, so to speak. But we do this with many people, not really getting to know them very well. Through small groups, we have the chance to really get to know each other on a much deeper level due to the opportunities that we must share our life experiences with one another. The final reason that I enjoy small groups so much is because we are encouraged to stop what we are doing for an hour every week and remind ourselves what should be the most important aspect of our lives. See, whether it be our work, school, or social life, we can easily allow our priorities to fall out of balance if we are not careful. Small groups particularly force us to stop briefly and remind ourselves just how much God loves us and how much He not only wants to maintain a relationship with us while we are here on earth, but also throughout eternity if we remain faithful. If you have any questions about this ministry, if you would like to participate, we need leaders. We need families to step up and host these small groups. And many of you have hosted a small group, and you are proof that we have yet to wreck a single home. We have leaders. We need leaders here. And if you've never led a small group, but you're interested, and you think, well, maybe I don't have the personality for it, I'm here to prove you wrong. You have the personality for it. Dave and myself and Keith, we want to be here to disciple you, to mentor and coach you. So if you would like to lead, come find me. Email me. Send me a messenger pigeon. Do whatever it takes, because I want to be here to support you. If you want to lead or host, find me after services. Another ministry that we have is probably one of our biggest ministries. It is the women's ministry. See, through devotionals, prayer groups, and many community outreach projects, the women here desire to connect women, young and old, to Jesus. And this comes from Danette. We want to connect women with God, connect women with godly women, and connect women with each other. See, this ministry needs disciples and disciple makers, women who will take other women under their wing and walk alongside them as an example to show them and to teach them the love that Christ has for them. I know that my wife and many of you have benefited, not many of you, all of you have benefited from this ministry in some way. Through their selfless act of service, they have served this congregation for years, and they will continue to service this congregation. And I wish I can have all of the women involved in this stand up so we can applaud your work, but you would all be embarrassed and probably hit me afterwards, so I won't do that. But I will say on behalf of the leadership, thank you. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your love and your service, for your hugs, for the godly words that you speak to us, the sometimes knocks on the back of the heads that we so rightly deserve. Thank you. Danette Allston leads this ministry. But if you have any questions, if you would like to know more of how you can be involved, please look to Lynn and Donna. If you guys can stand up just so people can see you, see your face, or at least wave, just so people, there you go. Go to them. If you have any questions on the women's ministry, look to them. Another ministry that we have, I feel like, was started because the men got jealous of all of the great fellowship the women do. It is the men's breakfast. Once a month, we host a men's breakfast here at the building. Some of the men, I think all of the men, we just got jealous of what the women are doing, and so we wanted to do something, and I think we did the best thing that we know how to do, which is breakfast. See, we hope to encourage stronger and more authentic relationships through Bible study, fellowship, and of course, bacon. It is essential to men's ministries all around the world. This is a ministry that is led by Bruce Tabor. If you would like to be involved, if you would like to expand men's ministries, if you have an act of service or something that you would like to see men do within this community, please find Bruce Tabor. Where is Bruce? There you go. Stand up. Oh, don't stand up. There you go. There. He's right there. Go and find him. He's the man. He's the man who has the bacon. Another ministry that we have that desperately needs your help, it needs your involvement, and above all, it needs your prayers and your words of encouragement. It is our worship planning ministry. It's easy to see this as almost an administration, but it's a ministry. It's a ministry that involves prayer. It involves discussion and fellowship and community with each other. I don't know how many of you have other experiences with churches, but every church I have worked with or worked for usually has one person. One person who decides what the worship is like for that church. And they will plan 6 months worth of songs. That's not wrong, but it's just, it sometimes can be detached from the sermon. It can be detached from the spirit or the circumstance or the context of the church. And I think we are blessed. If you did not know this, we have a committee of men and women, of old and young, who get together and plan our worship service. They pick our songs. They pick the people who will lead those songs, who will lead prayer, who will lead communion. And we are blessed by the work that they do. And they deserve our prayers. They deserve our encouragement to shake their hands and thank them for what they're doing. See, our service is led by people of different ages, leading newer songs and older songs. And this doesn't happen by accident. See, many years ago, we as a congregation had a meeting. And we decided we want to diversify the ages of who stands up here on Sunday morning and who leads these songs. And this congregation went about enacting that plan by being proactive in deciding and picking our millennials, picking our teenagers, picking our older, wiser members, and putting them together and saying, we want to worship together. So if you would like to be a part of that ministry, we need individuals who are willing to pray, who are willing to fellowship, who are willing to go through our songs, who are willing to go through Scripture and find out how we can better serve all of us here on Sunday mornings. If you have any questions, if you would like to be connected with that ministry in any way, please see Dave Schultz. And since he was already standing, you probably know who he is, but he's right over there. Seek him out. We have so many ministries, so many ways for you to be involved here. This is so that you can grow your faith. This is so that you can serve, because Christ has called us to serve. And I don't believe Jesus so much gives us the opportunity to pick and choose instead of handing us a family with needs. And these are our needs. They're right here. We know that this isn't complete. We know that so many of you are doing so many different things here that are unseen and are hidden. And I'm not asking you to come forward. I'm asking you to take me with you. Take us with you. Let us serve alongside you. We are going to be talking next Sunday about external ministries, the ways that we are reaching this community. And there are just as many, if not more, of these ministries that we have. There will also be a food truck because we still need to serve our internal ministries. So I ask you to come back again next Sunday and bring people, bring your friends, bring families, and hear about how this congregation here is answering Christ's call to go, to serve, to lay down our lives, to serve one another. Will you please stand as we continue to worship our God?